it was true.
I'm listening.
You know, and but at the same time, there was the scholar, you know, the potential, you know, dignified history professor. That was all in there, and of course, there was that desire to follow my great grandfather's footsteps and to help uplift our people. All of that was me back in 1965 at 22 years old.
I have to give the credit
and
to
I want you to see that because, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, and I acted as a child, but now that I have become a man, I put away childish things, but the desire to help our people is still there, and the desire to be a scholar is still there. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that is because, you know, at that time, the civil rights movement under Dr. King, you just mentioned Dr. King, was going very, very strong. But you have to understand something about the history of that movement. Number one, that movement was financed by white Jews. And it was counterproductive in several ways, but the main way is that that's when the morality of our people started to change.
Sometimes I don't sleep.
Because, number one, when the Jews brought their white women to infiltrate us and give us what they call free sex, which they was very, very happy to do. And I believe that's what they were sent down there for, but I can't say for sure. But it seemed like that was part of the arrangement.
Any individual.
That made our guys no longer feel ashamed of having sex with girls that we weren't going to marry. Because, you know, there was a widespread culture of teenage guys, college student age guys having promiscuous sex. But
the will of God.
We did have a morality that made us not feel that we should be doing it, but we just did because it was something in us to be expressed in that sexual nature in us. But we never felt that it was okay to the extent that we did after we started using those white girls. And then once we started, you know, breaking the bond of that prescribed morality using the white girl, then we started expanding it to feel comfortable with our girls. Because used to be, we only did it like that with girls we considered to be easy, you know. We didn't expect the nice girl, quote unquote, to be so easy as to say yes. Not that they didn't want it. But their mothers and fathers had told them, no, you don't do that until you find the right guy to get married. But around that time, you know, girls were letting it go easy. But see, that's because guys no longer had any feeling of guilt at approaching the girls. Because there was a time when a girl was like, you know, there's some pictures I can see of some of the girls that were in that time frame with me.
You have to cover it.
Yeah, I found out later they were just as hot as everybody else, but we didn't realize that they were so easy to approach because we had been held back. Our monster told us, I don't want to hear about you trying to get in and so on, so, you know.
It was covered by our mother.
And we respected our mothers.
That you have it.
So we looked at those girls like, we got to be careful. You know, we might kiss them. We might do this thing, but don't be putting your hand up on their dress. Don't be doing that, you know, because it's not good. And the girls would tell you, get back to your parents. And then the girls would tell you, no, you know, they'll be one. They let you go so far. But as the 60s moved on, they let you go farther to about that time that you see in that picture.
Allah gave it to you.
You know, there was easy pickings.
And Allah allowed,
you know, so I'm just saying, I'm not completely blaming
you can look in the, mirror,
the civil rights movement culture, but I do blame it a lot for that because everything started to change. So, yes,
I know, I'm sure
I'm a victim.
That from a cultural perspective, from a standpoint of how we understand, even as a lesson, it's fine. You know, the 5%,
so
85%, you know,
and I had a problem because I was always addressing it. And I only weighed 100 pounds. Everything was custom. And everybody knew it. My name on my cuff. My name on my shirt, where the pocket is. And all my suits being custom, I had my name on the inside. And I had so many clothes because I was on national TV so much. So it was a write-off for me. And I used to give a lot of it away because I was outgrowing my suits. And the brothers was very, very pleased with it. I didn't want anything for them, but if they didn't do it correctly, meaning they didn't clean it and get it cut to fit them like it should, I wouldn't give them any more. And I had a gentleman named Al Serto, and Al Serto was my main man in the boxing world. I can talk about him for the next 4 or 5 years. I had to make it to his front room. He's Italian. I had him all there laughing about how he and I grew. But he was a tailor. And I used to buy 50, 60 suits from him. And one day, one of my Jewish associates said, "Why do you spend so much money with him?" Because he was there when I had nothing. I remember the first suit was $5,000. Man, I ain't got $5,000. All right, pay me later. So I outdid him because not only did I pay him well for all of the suits, I made him a millionaire. And I remember saying to him that I'm going to give Buddy McGirt $900,000. He argued with me. Buddy wasn't worth $200,000. But I wanted to take care of my friend and my young brother, Buddy McGirt. And Al argued with me. So I said, "That's it. I'm not giving you anything." And that first fight with Tyson and Reddit, I made a great deal of money, but I was very upset with myself that I didn't give him that $100,000 more. And Buddy, being African-American, I had to go back and say, "Al, you're the manager. You're supposed to get all you can get. I'm going to put you on the next fight. I'm going to give you $1 million. And he screamed. I heard him call his wife, "Martha, Martha." And I said that at the funeral. The wife was tearing up, and I had her laughing on the front row. Because she said, "Ron gave you $1 million. Where is it?" He said, "How you get this house? How you get this business? This is where I put it. And we got a summer house in the Poconos." And Buddy McGirt made a lot of money that day, and he won. He was a world champ. And that's what you do when a lost one. Allah bless you. You're supposed to give back. You're supposed to help those who can't help themselves. And I enjoy that, brothers and sisters. I enjoy making people happy. I mean, sometimes you get ingrates, and that happens in the world. But sometimes you get ingrates. And I say all that to say we should understand that we are here for a reason. And from some strange reason, we don't believe that. And I have had conversations with a great deal of people. I remember when I was a young man, I used to have a sitcom called The Millionaire. And the whole story was about, "I am going to give you $1 million, but you can't tell nobody." What do you mean, "can't tell you"? You can't tell nobody. You tell anyone that you have $1 million, whatever I give you, I'm going to take it back. And it was a great sitcom because they always had to tell somebody. Don't tell nobody, but it always got out, so no one ever got that $1 million. That's why it came on every week. But I'm a little different. I feel like we're getting ready to get paid up. Just keep doing what you're doing. I haven't seen no money in 4 months. I have not seen no money in 4 years. You got to keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Keep on doing it. Keep doing it. And a lot of people bail out. They give up. They literally give up, brothers and sisters. I don't give up. I'm sorry. I'm going to continue on the road of success. And you know what? I read in the Quran. Allah says you should never give up. You ain't God. But is he doing right? Yes. Well, it's already written. But you're going to work for it. Allah's going to make you struggle. You won't appreciate it if you don't struggle. But why would you want to be rich? I'm going to be honest with you. My success comes from wanting a name of gold. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us our name is greater than gold. And they're going to do a movie on me. I figure I found the right producer. But the key to my success, I never asked for money. I was asked by a very lovely young lady. And he said, where is your money? As if she didn't know. I gave it away. And I didn't give it away because I'm a freak of nature. I gave it away because what is $1 million? Bill Gates got billions. He's probably one of the richest men in the world. Billions of dollars, brothers and sisters. What makes him better than I? The difference is he got there being obedient to Satan. Well, he's not Satan, but he sure is a cheap imp of Satan. And his job is to change our genes. Isn't that amazing? Now, they have stuff that you drink. And if you thought of being a man, it would sure work on you. And then you wonder why you as a woman rather be with another woman. That alone should say something happened. What got in my mind to change my gender? Vice versa. There's men that kill homosexuals because they really don't want to be a homosexual. However, in the act, when everything is over, he kills the man. All of a sudden, that manhood comes back. And that manhood puts you in a position that you're going to jail for the rest of your life. Now, you can imagine how long he's sitting there saying, what in the world did I do? Just a damn fool. So that's the way Satan operates. He cannot, brothers and sisters, touch you. It is not your intellect that tells you to do the things you do. It's your appetite. Oh, you didn't think of it. Yes, it's your appetite. You know good and well you're oxytocin. Well, you would eat that ice cream. You would eat that cheese. You would eat all the things that will mess you up. That's your appetite. You know you got sugar. You shouldn't be eating sweets. But you eat sweets. Why? Because you have an appetite. Well, that's the physical appetite, but that ain't the appetite Allah is talking about. When you want to get to another level and you mistreat people to get there, that's your appetite. You can't blame it on your intellectual mind. You just, any means necessary, you're going to get there. And then you find out as you get along in life, you are an old person doing the same thing you did when you was young. Something is wrong. Something is serious wrong that you haven't even wake up to the idea that you have done things that you're too ashamed to go to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness. You don't come to God. Now, if you're sick, whoa, if you're dying, my God, do you run to God? You run to your Lord. But you don't do it You don't do it, brothers and sisters, because you're not conscious, and that's how Satan gets you through your appetite. I just got to gamble. I won $100,000 in 1 year. I'm going to gamble. You got appetite. You see, anything free, listen, I'm telling you, run like hell. Because nobody gives you anything free. You go buy that house. You don't own that house. You say you own it. But you cannot compensate, or you cannot tell the bank to go to hell because you don't own it. The bank owns it. You can't repossess the bank. The bank repossess you. So you got what you call sophisticated, that is in your name, along with the one that really owns it, including your automobile. If you don't pay that car note, they're coming to get it. But they'll give you 4 months. They'll let you put your money up for the back. But allow that car worth $100,000 and you got $50 in it. Miss two, they got it. What in the world would they take my car? Because you paid them, now it's all free if they can take it back, and they say, I want all the money. When you mortgage your house, you got a double mortgage, now you're in double trouble. And they got you. And people get rich, find out who's behind in their mortgage. Because you never owned the house. We don't own anything. Now, there's certain things you can do. But then they say, this is how you're going to really get it. They're going to be able to buy this house that costs $500,000, $600,000. But they're going to mortgage for 30 years. 30 years, you got to pay it. As soon as they think that you got down to 10, 15, 20, you got now $200,000 on it, and you got maybe... You come out with $300,000, they're going to always mess with you. They want that house. They're going to put you in more debt. So you got to wait till you're 30 years old to own a piece of property. So we don't know how to go and invest. That's something they didn't teach us. They're not going to. Is there exceptions to the rule? Sure it is. Larry Holmes paid for everything he had, cash. If he couldn't buy it, he didn't fight. If he wanted something, he went for it. Paid off. But they call that dead wood. Because you buy property and you flip it, and you flip it, it makes money for you. But if you're just sitting there giving all your money to a piece of property that soon when you get 70 years old, you don't want to leave it with nobody, you're hot with your wife, you don't want to leave it with her. And it's amazing how they come and get us. So what I found out is that what I'm talking about is not what they're trying to do to you today. Today, they want to remove you from this earth. Now, isn't it amazing that you can't go to the hospital and see your loved one? Isn't it amazing when they call you to come to the hospital, you have to sign off that you've taken this body to the grave? You don't even know how your loved one passed away. You should be. But you're going to get over it. That's what they say. You're going to get over it. You ain't coming back. And you sure ain't going to dig up that body to find out how that he or she died. No, you ain't going to do that. Yes, sir, boss. Whatever you say, boss. You know, I talk to my family members. I have them. I say, I'm not here to change anything that you're doing. Nothing whatsoever. I'm not here, but I can give you a choice. And we say things, brothers and sisters, what we say doesn't merit. It does not merit. And everybody thought that I was very highly upset when we brought Satan himself and allowed him to talk to those he could never reach. Matter of fact, if you're smart, to tell anyone out there that's a trillionaire, give me $100,000 and I'll put you in front of all the Muslims. But see, they don't want the foreign Muslims. They got them. They know you come in this country, they're going to deport you right back. Ship you back overseas. That's a threat. You can imagine the threat that the Mexicans got and the all of the Latinos have, and they make them feel like their country is nothing but a bunch of thieves and crooks and dope dealers. So they threaten you to take your green card, they call it. But now today, they're doing worse than that. They're taking people, shipping them on a plane and sending them back and take their children away from them. So where is America going? But I do know, and I'm informing you, that our ancestors went through 400 years. And look where we are today. 400 years, you couldn't kill us off. Yes, you hung our fathers. You castrated our brothers. You raped our mothers. But we are here. And we are here because our ancestors prayed to God and made a covenant with God to make sure we will exist today. Isn't that amazing? Pray for that. And Allah answered their prayers, because look who we are today. We come from being a Negro, a nigger, a black man, coming from being a three-fifth of a human being. Today we're doctors and lawyers, engineers, and entrepreneurs. We look like we should thank God. 400 and some odd years of slavery, and we were kidnapped and brought over here, and they made us build this country, but yet we own nothing of this country. And if you tell me, no, I know brother so-and-so, he's a millionaire. Yeah, count how many people had one baby. And compare that to anyone that had three babies. Who is the minority and who is the majority? It's a natural thing to have one child. But to have twins and triplets and quadruplets is a rarity. So, yes, you that's satisfied and you are living a good life in this world, yes, you are a minority, and you can't do nothing for the majority. So these are the things that take place, and we don't understand that you think we're getting better. No, you who can eat every day may can say that, but you got grandmas eating dog food. It seems like me that all of the international men and women that's renowned around the world will come together and say, let's find out how many people are homeless, how many people are eating terrible food. Let's put our money together and see if we can build nice, beautiful complex. Because keep in mind, brothers and sisters, when you go buy that $500,000 house on that land that developer made, how much do you think he made to do all of that? Now he got 200 homes and he's building more. How much do you think that he paid to get it built? So when you buy in quantity, it is so cheap. Because why? Everybody makes money with you. It's one thing trying to make money off of one house or one apartment. But when you got a million apartments, you just do the math. You don't have to charge them $2,000, $3,000 to live in your beautiful building. Because you know you are tripling your money. But if we said, I'm going to put you in a nice place, but you got to go by rules and regulations, and you come see them two bedrooms and three bedrooms and four bedrooms and bath and this part, one part of the house, that part of the house, when you're able to live there, it's rules and regulations. And you are able to buy that house that only costs $125,000. How much we made? $25,000. Is that all we want? No, we just did a million. Multiply $2,500 times a million. So collectively, we make money because we got homes all over the country. And yes, one day we'll go out, but it wasn't for us to go out to get rich. It's for us to help those who can't help themselves. So now we got to feed all these people. We want to know their name. Well, there's 5 million people so far as eating dog food. We can help them. Why? Because there's 5 million of us, $1. You think that can feed them? No? All right. How about $5? You think that can feed them? All right, no problem. $10. We all got $10. So now the people going to be able to eat. They will, oh, they thank you. No, Allah will thank you in this world and the hereafter. But you can't do it as an individual. So I watch certain things on the TV, and they got new thing now. Here we got COVID-19 trying to take us out. We got all these crazy people that are trying to take us out. You got men that have nothing else to do but put you on the network to watch Muslims that have songs in English, speaks well in English, but when they show the Islamic world in America, I ain't seen one black one. And if I do see one black one, you don't know where he's from because they're all dressed alike, from Pakistan, India, from Saudi Arabia, and the different parts of the African world. So you don't know, but they're showing us all kinds, all about the foreign man. Nothing represents the black man. One, he don't have money to do that. Number two, they'll put him up to speak because he speaks distinctly, English, correctly. And so therefore they'll put him, but you, it's almost like our commercial. You ever look at, cause I was a little boy, I used to watch that. I used to say, look at that good commercial. I don't see one black man. I don't see one black little girl. I don't see this. What is going on? Every commercial, all white. But we go out and buy their cars. We go out and eat their food. It's all white folks. Someone said something. Whatever they said, now it was, listen, what it was is that they would have the rockets and might put three light-skinned person in there, maybe one black, all these years. Because black life matters, they go get what? They go get that young lady that father's white, daddy might be white, or go get that one that has such a great pan. You don't know if he's white or black. Now, they'll put that in, but look how many. If it's five, it's always four white. And if they get pressure, they'll put in three white, one look like it's white, they slip a black one in. Now, that president's, I don't look at it being precious. I look at it that they built their own future. And they have a right to choose all their loved ones before they choose you. But our children go to school to do what? To work in their company. To sit and help them get richer. And the thing that disturbs me, I hear people talking, oh, I worked and I did this and I was here and I did that. You ain't do nothing for us. You went and got your job. You went to school, you got education, and you worked for the system. But the system tells you, if you think you're going to work in here and make $100,000 a year, you better take that flu shot. Now, you got a choice. Because your husband don't make as much money as you make. So you got to get a choice. So what? You choose. I'll choose my life. Isn't that something? But if you're in your own business, if you're in your own business, you're an entrepreneur, yeah, hell no, I'm not taking nothing that you have not proved to be original. But you're scared. You're scared. Scared to go out. So now all over the network, a group of real scientists, and I'm going to put it to you in kindergarten phrase because I don't know all that language that they have out there. But this is what they say. They say, I want you all to listen. You see my degree, let's call her degree A. Whatever it is. When it comes to the man. She's the A. No, the doctor's A. No, he or she isn't. They all got to come to A. Why? Because they don't study that. They study how to be doctors. So the doctors cannot approve anything that they can't see, nor can they touch. But a scientist is different. So they got to do these A scientists to protect them in the hospital. And anything else, because why? That's all they study. Now, bring them in the hospital to do the operation. They can't do it. Bring them science in there to be able to do anything in the way that you got to go to school after 8 years coming out of college to either be a doctor or a nurse. So how is it that as doctors is going to tell you what is the flu, where it comes from, when they come to A to protect them, their life, because they're sicker than you are. They heavier than you are. They don't do no exercises, no nothing, but they're your doctor. And sometimes you can't help yourself, but you can help everybody else, so I'm not knocking up for that. But the point is, brothers and sisters, the point is you got the wrong people talking to you. So what they do is they pay big money. And if you was hoodwinked, stabbed and bamboozled by the guy who got you to do it, he got paid. He didn't tell you. Now, someone will have to tell you because they know you're not stuck on stupid. So the money blinds you. There go your moral. And you allow someone to come and talk to us. However, the same way she said, A, you got plenty of men and women that's in that A field and don't call themselves a doctor of being involved as a physician, a scientist, and they can bring what the doctors need that the doctors cannot. Make sense? So this young lady said, the worst, because I protect my doctors. They cannot use that fake stuff that y'all mentioned on your face. And the kids are all messed up because they don't have COVID-19. They have the cold, the flu from those filthy things you put around your face. To this day, they say, okay, one can't, because everybody's now pulling back. Oh, no, you need two masks. One day they're going to say you need three masks. So neither one, two, three, five going to help you. Then she said they put them in their pocket. You can have these germs come out of there. Then they drop it on the ground. They pick it up and use it anyway. She said, the biggest trick ever. Now, they knocked her off of Facebook because she had 8 million people used to listen to her. They kicked her off because why? She was killing them. She was telling the truth about all of this. All of this. I can't tell a doctor what to do, and he sure can't tell me, and I protect his life. Then she said, there is something they put over their face, but we got it designed. And there's nothing what y'all have. So why are they saying this to her? Because it's called the Benjamin. I wish I could get it so I could send it to everybody. But you know what you'll say? Well, I'm going to smoke this cigarette. And I know that Abdullah Muhammad says there's a fire on one and a fool on the other. I know that. But who say I'm going to get it? Just like millions have died from it, there's billions that didn't even get it. See? So now you playing God. You believe you're not going to get it. But you keep going your way, you're going to find out that they don't want you to take the, what can help you. Your vital organs must be up to par. But you can't do that if you're lazy to sickle cell, playing games because you have sickle cell. You have to be much cleaner than the next person because you ain't pumping that insulin naturally. They got to give it to you. And last but not least, what I found out, yes, you go out and you drink or you eat obesity, but you take that pill. And that pill maintains the level of your sugar count. But you don't see what's really hurting you. And that's what it does. We use it anyway. Been there, done it, and found out that that's not how it works. My sugar count might go up, and it could come up for stress. It can come up because I was excited. But while I'm up there at 180, my doctor said, when you check your count, what was you? 130. He said, yes. You can control it because you're doing that with no meds. 10 years, I had no meds. He said, but if you take this metformin, it makes you think that you're okay. And you are, because it's not going to spike your sugar count. But everything else is breaking down because it has side effect. And that's the first thing you want to know, what is the side effect? A gentleman came on And he said, man, I was so out of it. All I can do is hold my wife and rub on her. Ain't nothing else happening. He said, I went to work. I wanted to know what the world is going on. Well, some people just accept it. Well, that's what it is in my talk today. Do you know your religion? I don't think so. Because if you knew your religion, brothers and sisters, you would be more closer than God than you once was. Because religion cannot complement you if you're just doing everything you ought not to do. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're a Hindu. I don't care if you're a Christian or a Buddhist. I don't care if you're an atheist or a Muslim in Al-Islam. Al-Islam gives it to you real clear for him. And you think because we wear these titles, it means something. Well, how could that really mean something when you got men raping women and they are Christians? You got Jews raping little boys and they're Jewish. And so far and so on. So we all commit sin, but do we beg for forgiveness? Even in Al-Islam, you got men that stand over you just to dictate. They don't have no simple common sense to you any further. Because if they release that money to the next imam, you got a problem. Before you realize to check their books, you still feel you got a problem because you can't see your money. So this is in Al-Islam, and there's no difference. Because Satan knows how to tap into the appetite. And more important, brothers and sisters, I want you to listen. If you listen, you make your own decision. But Satan ain't not going to let you go. He knows your weakness. And that's what you're fighting, why you can't grasp the understanding. Satan is going to get you. And that's his job. His job was put in us as the jinn, and that jinn is going to test your appetite, not trying to come to your intellectual mind. He won't come directly so you can have fear. And when you have fear, he got you. You don't seek refuge in Allah. So, yes, you can go through those rituals, but you have no morals. And we ain't not talking about the morals in the bedroom. You can handle that on your own. We're talking about your moral understanding to want for your brother that which you want for yourself. The moral understanding is we're a mirror of one another. A moral understanding is giving is better than receiving. The moral understanding is serve God as if you can see him, but you can't see him, but he surely can see you. You have neglected the reality of your religion. Well, how you know my religion is this, my religion is that, my religion, for whatever reason, cannot help me? Well, let's look at it. Since you didn't grasp the understanding, let's look at it. A female got a handsome husband. A female has a very successful husband. But the female catching hell because he's a little boy. All he wanted to do is come home, live on his welfare check or his Social Security check or live off of anything that makes him complacent, and he goes and play these games. You can't make him a man, sister. You don't have that power to do so. So you have to put up with him. Isn't that something? You have reverted back to that little boy that wants to play games. How could you maintain that? You can't. But he picked you because he feels you can maintain his sanity because he's not going to do nothing. He don't care about nothing. He don't care about you. And you got to keep winning him over. That's a true story. So the way you can't compliment a boy and you're a grown woman, been in the world for 40 years, is the same way when it comes to the religion you choose. The religion cannot compliment you. because you was no good when you came in, and you're no good now in Christianity. You're no good right now in Judaism. You're no good right now in Al-Islam. This is simple mathematics. And because you have lost the spirit, she wants to find out how could she divorce you. Because this ain't going right. Only a woman can be able to compliment a real man, capital M-A-N. Oh, she can maintain his sin. I'm not saying he don't have child in him. He better have it. His mother repeating it, but he knows how to control it. He knows how to use it at the right time because he's in his right state of mind, and vice versa with the girls. You can't have an attitude and think you want to maintain your husband. Well, hate to say it, but there's too many women out there looking for one. You make room, easy. Now, again, where Allah says 2, 3, or 4, those are people that deserve to understand this is a temporary world and you not going anywhere by yourself. That's how good Satan is. I believe I got a great deal of wives from the neck up. And they talk to me as if I just walked out of their house. And I love it because we're a community. And they don't need no finance from you. But they want their sanity. They want to at least be able to talk to a man that has some common sense. Poor sisters, they don't want just anybody walking out of their house, so they probably have that. Allah will bless them with good intentions. But today, Allah said, I tried those before you. Who are you not to be tried? Did you get it? That's not me talking. That's your Lord. He's asking you, who are you? Before you got here, I tried those before you. So who are you, sister? Who are you, brother? For some reason, you want to pass. When you learn this religion, especially in Al-Islam, Allah gives it to you clear. It's very clear. Well, my husband got too many wives. He do, yes. When you find out, 20 years later. 20 years. Oh, he should have told me this. He should have told me what you had accepted. No. Oh, so he was smart. He didn't want to lose you. Did you have fun for 22 years? Well, if I look at it, yes, I did. So then what are you crying about? Because you think that you know what you have. You don't know what you're going out there to get. So they're all messed up out there. You cannot know who messed up until you walk with them, talk with them, eat with them. Don't let them in your home. What the hell I have here? You thought you had something because it was physical. Muscles, success, handsome. Some ugly ones that come around too. You know, look like a gorilla, but hey, he's a man. You know, everybody like a man. But once you leave, as I heard a beautiful, gorgeous wife say, why did you leave her, sister? Because I was stupid. But how? Did you know you were stupid before you left? No. I thought I was going to go to the world. As pretty as I am, I'm going to the world. They will sweep me off their feet. Okay. You don't know Satan. You by yourself, he deals with your appetite. He don't put nothing in front of you you don't like. He put something in front of you that he knows you would like. And something happened. Something happened. He go get his gun. What did you say? Every woman died? You can't talk to him like that. But he got a mental problem. They all got problems. And you say, my God, what is the fault you have with your husband? He say he'll be back, he don't come back. Oh. He never told me he had a wife for 25 years later. I learned how he does. Oh. Well, I don't like to go every place he likes to go. Oh. Yeah, you sit down there with these billions of women saying, you're a damn fool. Give me that any day. Because mine smack the hell out of me. Mine's curse at me. Mine's go and play these games. He got to gamble. He got to do this. So much of this. So I, oh, my God. I wouldn't believe I would get into this kind of situation. But go into your client. Read Sarah. Do you think Allah painted a picture of Sarah for 1,400 years, 2,000 years ago? Go look up. Look up Sheba. See who Sheba is. Look at Khadija. How about Aisha? Well, hell, brothers and sisters, you got one right here named Khadija. Even one of the Muhammad's wife. But they fear her. They fear her because of her mind. Now, how is a woman that's been with our leader as a wife got a whole lot of knowledge that hasn't been shared? I was right there. She said, I have volumes on things he hasn't taught us yet. And in those volumes of books that he has written for us to learn, not one of it is about himself. That's alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now, is she just sitting there waiting to die to go see him? I don't think so. But she is not going backwards, I can tell you that. Because money comes and money goes. But on your way to paradise, while you live, is impeccable. So when you start reflecting back on the good things, it means that the angels are telling you something. What most women wants to do is control that individual. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to say to my wife, all right, I'll be back. And the next day she would be angry. You knew she was angry because she wouldn't speak. But she did all her chores. But she wouldn't speak. Then after 3 days, she's over. And she said, I wouldn't have no problem, but don't tell me you'll be back. I would say, simple. See you when I get back. I ain't had no problem with her for decades. Trying with Muhammad Ali. Let's go. Where we going now? Korea, where we going now? Tokyo, where are you going now? Hawaii, where are we going now? The Philippines, where are we going now? I flew on the plane so much, now I got tired of flying because now it's shorter distance. I flew on the Concorde. Yeah, we got there quick. England is 6.5 hours, I think, 6.5, 7. We was in there 3 hours. I flew on that Concorde because I didn't really, but that was a beautiful plane. Of course, they fit you well. But, yes. So you got to go work. You got to go do, take care of business. You know, I remember one day I said to my wife, the girl said, come on, man, we got to go. I said, man, I ain't going. I'm staying home with my wife. My wife said, you got to go. I'm going to be here when you get back. She was smart. She said, you a money maker. Go on out there and do your work. I'll be here. That's what she said. I'll be back. We all understand that the female has a gift, brothers and sisters, and she protects the welfare of that man. She's like your mother. Because when you lose your mother, you really don't lose her. Because she's just like your mother. And my mama used to get on my nerves. But everybody tell you, I love that woman, but she had a lot of mouth. She's going to tell you just how she feels and what you better do. I had to get out of here at 14 because that's what she was doing. But I love that woman. Boy, do I love that woman. I have never, in my old age today, I have never said, I don't like my mother. I never said I got angry with my mother. I never talked back to my mother. I love that woman. She can have anything. When I was a little boy, my older siblings, you better go to bed. You're supposed to be in that bed at 8 o'clock. It's 8:15, and I ain't going nowhere until Mama come home. One day I asked my mother, I said, Mama, you have sex in the car or in the hall? Boy, you better shut up. I said, but where's your man? You ain't bringing no man in her home with her 5 children. You can forget that. I thought Mama was Virgin Mary. Because she said, I would not go to sleep at 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm getting pretty much beyond myself. But I was not going to sleep until Mama was in that house. That's why I know she was in that house. And I used to stand right by the door with my coat on. Where are you going, boy? I'm going with you. Don't you know I got to go to school Well, I'm going with you, Mom. There's no way you can go with me. How can I not go with you, Mom? I'll be outside. I'll find something to do. Nope. I would follow her all the way to the elevator. And she used to give me that lip, those eyes. And she said, if you don't get back in there, now you don't want that backhand. So I'll go back in. I ain't coming. But next day, same thing. Next day, same thing. I had to go to work. I said, I'll go to work with you, Mama. You go to work? Yeah, but I'm going to clean some office. I said, I'll go with you. No. And I did that so many times, she took me. And when she took me, I was so happy to get rid of the other four. I had my mama to myself. And she stopped and got some cookies and some peanut butter and some crackers and some cheese. And we cleaned in the office. She showed me how to vacuum the floor. And she had one apartment, the other part. I stopped and come, Mama, you ready? What do you mean ready? Is ready for lunch? Not now, sir. I go back and do it and come out. Mama, we ready? Not now, sir. I go back and come out. Mama, you ready? Okay. And she would take out this white. My mother was very clean. That's one thing about that woman. Everything had to be spotless. If you didn't do that glasses right, she would beat you, get you out of that bed, and say, go do those dishes over again. So it had to be clean. So my mama was just that type of person. However, when she put that white cloth on the table, she put that white cloth on the table and brought out those cookies and crackers, and me and my mother, I went with her every time she had to clean, just to be with my mom. And don't let her tell me to bring my little sister and meet her downtown Broad Market at Woolworths. Whoa! Told me how to cross the street. Do not cross at the red or in between. Cross at the green. And I would cross at the green and say, you wait for the next light, and you stand there, boy. I don't care if it's raining, hail, or snow. You stand there, boy, until I get there. And when she'd get there, she was my sister and I shopping, and we would buy our clothes or whatever. But when we went at Woolworths and they gave us that cheeseburger and some ice cream shake, boy, I was in seven heaven. I used to paint with her, really knowing her with her. I did everything she wanted to do, I did. That's how I used to make my money, because I was an entrepreneur. I used to paint people's homes for $10. That's a lot of money for a little kid, 9, 10 years old. I say all of this, brothers and sisters, that we don't understand why Allah says we are one. But he's not only saying be one with your wife. He's not saying just that. But that's the way you're supposed to love your community. That is not happening. Not here in America. It's not happening. And your community is made of men and women in all walks of life. So therefore, Allah will not reward us as being separate. And we're all doing our own thing. You take care of your house. I take care of my house. You take care of yours. You take care of yours. You take care of yours. And we cut up. But if we took care of each other, that's power. I could smack you with my open hand. I'll shock you. But if I united to one unit, I can knock the hell out of stupidity. I can knock the hell out of procrastination. I can knock the hell out of why we all got something in common. We broke. Yeah, one got 50,000. Another one got 100,000. There might be a few of us that got 1 million. But collectively, we broke. Because if we put our monies together, we can rule our destiny. But for some reason, Satan, that jinn got you. And because you are being locked up in the home, Allah says now, it says in the Quran, we will be in our home, making prayer. So this day has come. And we believe that Satan's in charge. This is why we can talk about those things that go over your face, and everybody that came out, they shut them down. That's why Donald Trump called it no news, bad news, fake trying to fake nobody out but us. And just think about it, brothers and sisters. They found a young lady that's in the Senate, and they found out she belongs to this, I don't know what you call these people. But they believe they should rule. And I believe the black people and the white folks need to die. In this cult, they eat little children, literally eat little children, literally drinks their blood. They found all this out about her. And she said, well, I'm sorry. If that's what y'all think or what y'all care, I'm doing my job. And the lady is saying, how in the world did she get in? Yes, how in the world they get in on our community and on our mess, on our nation of communication. What in the world we letting them in? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we don't want to talk about him, but it's all in the Quran. They talk about Elijah. And they don't have to mention the name. They talk about the duties of the Khalifa. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad fits in there, but we are stuck on stupid that we felt, here's a stepfather, raised you, gave you everything you wanted, and then when you get old, he ain't your dad. But daddy is not the one who plant the seed. You're going to be raped, and the seed is there. But your father who raised you is your dad. That's why I love to be gladiator. I found out a lot of people never went and saw the gladiator. This man didn't have a mother and father. He was adopted by the king in Italy, you might as well say, because the king wanted Rome. And all the way, only way he can get Rome is to win. But his son loved his sister more. He loved his daddy to fight, so he used to come late. Gladiator, gladiator. He's the gladiator. And because he's the gladiator, they would cheer him because he won those battles for his daddy. But he wanted to go home to his wife. He wanted to go home to his wife. The king didn't want to go home. He felt safe with him because the king was a warrior and awesome. And his son says to his dad, I heard you. You want to give Rome to the gladiator. And the men called him a general. General! General! Amazing. I got a guy that came to me and he called him the generator. It's amazing. He's a general. But the moral of the story, it wasn't his son. But his son, brothers and sisters, loved. His real son hated his daddy. He wanted to be the gladiator. He wouldn't qualify. Once again, it shows that anything that Allah gives you, shall not place a burden on the soul that it cannot withstand. Because if I married a young lady today, and she never knew she was pregnant, nor did I. So she's pregnant. And she says, I don't think that's your child. Am I get upset or did Allah deliver me another child? I would raise that child as if it's mine. That's in the Quran. Because why did she come? She didn't know. I sure didn't know. So I'm going to raise that child. I'm not going to get upset. So that's why in Al-Islam they tell you females to wait 90 days. Because you could be carrying someone else's baby. However, some of y'all wait 90 days. And know perfectly well you can't carry no baby. That's all that was for. How long did it take the prophet to marry these widows that husband lost their life in the line of duty? Oh, back then, 30 days. But they needed a man to provide for them. And so therefore, they were smart. And this is why he had so many wives. But the wives couldn't do what the normal wife can do. Some of them had diseases, and some of them, but he took care of them like a husband. And he was an orphan. So he knows what it is to be an orphan. He knows what it is to be without. So if you understood Satan, Iblis, that jinn that's in you, the difference from us and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never allowed his jinn to get away from him. So that's why his jinn is Muslim. You see, once we realize what the djinn is going to do, then we realize we would never want to be by ourselves. Now, my brothers, I know 10 thus far has died behind that door because there was no wife there to make sure that he can wake you up and she can get you into the hospital. Yes, because if you don't have that, you're dead. Now, I don't like to put my business in the street, but I was a dead man, and it just so happened she wasn't just any woman. She said, let me pluck your finger. I said, you ain't sticking me. She said, let me pluck your finger. And so she was very bold about it, so I gave it to her. She said, oh, you 350. What do you mean? You got sugar. That's the way I found out. Almost died. Long story. That was my sister. Then another thing happened. I didn't know nothing about me really having sugar. And it was something on the back of my neck. And I kept playing with it, playing with it. It just kept getting red and red. And my assistant said to me, I'm taking you to the hospital. You ain't taking me to the hospital. And I got in the hospital. Next thing I know, 10 days in the hospital, doctor said, if you made it 15 minutes later, you would not be here. Don't tell me about females. Females are gifted. They got intuition. And you want to put them in the basement. You want to put them in the back. You don't like that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to love them. That's your queen. She's the Lord of the house. And today you talk about how many children he had. But you was a dope addict, and he cleaned you up. You was a pimp. He cleaned you up. You was a murderer. He cleaned you up. But yet you talk about his children. You know the great thing about it? You know the great thing about it, brothers and sisters? He said, wives. He ain't said no significant other, girlfriend, no right hand possessed. He is charged with wives. But look all the good he did for us, including me. He made me the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of the civilization, God of the universe. He told me that at 13 years old, I was ruling. There was no hesitation about me. I am God of the universe. And he was correct. Black, we just couldn't define it. It is darkness. You're in darkness. You don't have the knowledge. So we're black. But as soon as daylight lights up, we can see the Allah's creation. Read. He said to Muhammad, read in the name of your Lord that created. And I began to see. And I wanted things out of light. How could I not like a father I never had, a grandpa I never had? That man taught us how they eat to live. But you want to talk about his women. But you don't talk about the presidents. You don't talk about the senators. You don't talk about all these rich people. But they don't have 1, 2, 3, 4 women. These men have thousands of women. And they all is not just women. They have boys. They have little girls. They play games, they play all kinds of stuff. I saw the Tom Cruise. He used to go to this place. He was all messed up once in a while. And this one girl was half nude, says, you should get out of here. And she had love for him. He came by to see her. But she wanted to do something, but something said, no, don't do it. And then he would meet her there. And she said, I told you, you shouldn't come here to this club. So they used to wear masks, and I can't name the show. I don't know it, but I remember it. And it came with masks on, and they did all this freaking stuff, and they caught him and said that we're going to have to punish you. He didn't know because it was, like, spooky. And the girl came and said, I'll take his punishment. She said, what are they going to do to you? She said, they're going to kill her. But they didn't mean physically kill her because she's going to take the punishment. Over 25 men can have her all at one time. That's what they meant. And she died. She was a junkie anyway. That's what the guy said. You come here trying to figure out what we do. I didn't kill that girl. None of us killed her. She was a junkie. And we cleaned her up. This is the game they play. These stories that you see is real. If you worrying about what Fucci going to say or Hootie, whatever his name may be, I mean, this is ludicrous. This got to be something wrong with us that we all went back to how we were. Yes, the boss is very sophisticated. We got people that can do your homework, people that studies what goes on. And you don't want to listen to Ms. Farrakhan. He does something that we all should respect. He got the best resource people in the country, men and women. And they bring them back to actual facts. You ever heard that word before? Actual facts. And they bring them out. I'm going to give you one worse. There is a book called Hamoud. Hamoud is not for those who follow Abraham. That's one of these books that they have to do in the book on national TV while they kick them off. He said, read here. All little boys and girls was created for us to have sex with. He says, here, y'all telling me that I anti-sociable, I anti-Jewish. He said, the good Jews don't follow this book. So this is a book that they, this is the way they live. For the Amalek, my homies would say when I was only 14, he said, go next door and see them in their social life. You will run them from emotion. My God, we wouldn't. He's right. But now he's penetrating the Imam Wadafi Muhammad's community. And we forgot what we were taught when we was in boot camp. I didn't come here to teach you religion. I came to clean you up. And one after me will teach you your true religion. He had to clean us up mentally, physically, spiritually. And we got to thank for that. But for that came from India. But he came here because we were lost and found. And he found us and taught the Amalek Muhammad to teach us. And then we're going to knock him. Something that happened. And now we speak in Arabic. I see a big change. But why would you want to teach someone in an hour or two Arabic? You went to school. Some of y'all went over there and sat in school for 2 years, 3 years. But you want to teach what you learn every time you get a mic. You got to give them Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and so forth. So it sounds good, brother, but you just waste time. Allah knows your heart. You won't have to do no dua for her, from him. Allah judges our heart. But isn't it amazing that the brothers from Turkey makes 100,000 a year? The brothers from India makes 100,000 a year. The brother from Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, brothers from China, all the Islamic brothers come over here, got the big job. And what language do they speak? You've been having this language for 450 years. Where's your job? You speak in a different language. You got away from your own community. You got away from your own skin. I say it all the time. Now, if your father's Arab, if your father lived over there and that's the way he dressed you, I'm not talking about you all. I'm talking about the ones that used to wear suits and ties and bow ties and wore gaiters and wore mink coats just like their wives, sharp right down to the morning time. You got out of that. And you wear boots and high pants compared to water, which is Satan might reach your... don't start me. But you can't go to Hajj and go to Outer Fact and not put on your culture. When you're fake, you're wannabe, can't show them my culture as if the black man don't have no culture, as if the black man is three-fifths of a human being, meaning you're an animal. And the white folks didn't want you to be upright. But here we are, came to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now that we with Prophet Muhammad, the question was asked, oh, Rasuli, yes, Rasuli, can you tell me, are we your best followers? He said, no, you're my companion, my best follower is those who can't see me, those who can't touch me, those who are not here in my presence. Those are our best followers. And we say, we do, I don't care how you dress, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And we ain't never saw him. We don't even know what he looked like. We don't know how tall, how short, and don't care. It doesn't matter for us to know that. We know his uswa. So how did you change? No, God gave you this gift for 450 years of slavery. Those Arabs didn't go through slavery like that. There's no such thing amongst the men and women that follow the honorable Elijah Muhammad, the ones who hear that follow Imam Wallace Muhammad. There ain't no royal family amongst us. And we broke. Over there, they left the religion. They kill each other, taking each other's head over money. They are joining countries, killing other Muslim brothers so they could take it over with the enemy. They wouldn't even let their women drive till 2 years ago. They have fell back where they were before they came. The most unintelligent people on the earth, but you want to be like them. We are gifted, brothers and sisters, and we don't even know we're gifted. How is it I got 3 million people that tune in, and they ain't you all? I'll give you one third. Give you some dignity. Our Jews and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists. Isn't that something? What school did I go to? Well, my teachers, he meant Warren Dean Muhammad. And he taught me how to study this Holy Quran. So we say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds. And we thank Allah, we thank him for giving us a mercy. Prophet Muhammad is a mercy to all humanity, not just a mercy to us, a mercy to all humanity. And we salute him with the most excellent salute that's given to man. Peace and blessings be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companion. We say, surely Allah might speak the truth. See all Arab Bureau teachers out there, Sadaqallah within. And when you take the simple things in this religion, better you grow, because Allah says that he's with you, and you have to prove it to him. But we all follow the Prophet. And Prophet Muhammad was an Arab. They say he was an Arab. And how can we accept when we were slaves? But we made a commitment, and so we follow him. We follow the Prophet Muhammad. And they say he was Arab. Now Allah blessed the world with the African man to have vision. Now comes us following a African American man. No, they don't want us to follow African American man. They want us to follow an Arab. And that's how they see it. We, under the leadership of Imam Wallace Muhammad, look at his nationality. We don't even know his nationality. Yes, his mother was Arab. Yes, his father was Arab. But Allah raised him to be an upright human being. Allah taught him to be a mercy for all humanity. You can't be an Arab and a mercy to us, and we only the poor of the poor. But we have the spirit of the Quran. And we have the love for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name, but we allow them to come over in our language and take over our country. They took over your bean soup. They took over your halal that was established here first, clothing. They took over our shoes. They took over our dresses. They took over our fried chicken and black-eyed peas and cornbread. What do you have? Don't tell me that you are blessed and you have nothing. You can't take your child or your children to our restaurant. But when we found the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we had restaurants all over this East Coast. And don't let us go to Chicago. We was at Salon Restaurant. Don't let us go to California. We was at Shabazz Restaurant. Don't let us go to Cleveland. Don't let us go around the world. We was doing for ourselves, and we cooked our own food. Today, everybody's cooking your food. And how could a group of imams? And I know, I sit amongst 30, so it's got to be at least 2,000. But yet, the Islamic world don't have nothing for all humanity. Oh, you can go to their restaurants. They line up. Don't go to Patterson. They are line up. All of them from foreign countries got the whole block. But they don't look like us. Where's our restaurant? You can go to Little Italy. You can go to Chinatown. You can go anywhere you want. They all got a name. Where's our town? I'll tell you where it's at. In the masjid. Well, brother, I thought you come there and you make prayer, you get up and you go work. Okay. Okay, they scientists now. And then the other thing kills me, here Spruce Street was supposed to be the toughest of the toughest. Now, we from Date Street don't know that. The reason we don't know that, we ain't never came up that way. Only time you seen us when we went to South Side or Weekway, oh, yeah, we never went to the hill. But you better not come to Date Street. So everybody had their own territory. So Spruce Street, all of that was the toughest of the tough. Yeah, tough. What? You go in there now, and you go to the masjid, brother, brother, we're going to teach you, brother, how we're going to do this, Juma. I said, who is that? The foreigners came in and just took over. That is amazing, man. They took over, stuck you all up with a gun, without a gun. You stuck up. I got to tell you this, because I don't accept it. Not me. You ain't going to make me be little. They don't believe we Muslim. And that's why they don't use us. And they come in and take over everything we build. Because why? They got money. And the spineless individual say, oh, you ain't taking over, Newark. If we going downtown and say, we're going to take over. No. Yes, sir, boss. Use your money, boss. And I just call me. You got a foreigner who just came around that's been going to our schools and never taught us that they was Muslim. But they better not. Now today, you know, raised up. Now you all know how to do Juma and so forth. Now here you got women saying to you, okay, brother, I want you to do this and do it. Ooh, and the hell are you? Well, I'm the undertaker. Well, stay in your place. You don't tell us. Seven people in a row. Seven this, seven that. I've never heard what's going on. And then the same women come in there and they put you in the ceiling. They put you down in the basement. You can't even be on the first floor. And if you know anything about getting people out of here, you would get all the brothers out here and say, wait a minute, we got women. What? They're down in the basement. Well, I can't see them. Because they sneak in and they sneak out. And you got the men running. That is not what Al-Islam is about. Al-Islam said we're the Khalifa. And that's a feminine name. So you sisters could never put that on the man. You're the Khalifa. You shouldn't be hiding from nobody. You should do just like those white folks do and the black people got together and they said, oh, we're going to vote. The hell with this, we're going to vote. And them women marched in this country and they voting. Where are you? Were you fearful? You know where you came from, the inner city? Who are you fooling? And you won't come together? Hey, you want to say you're stuck on stupid? Then we move. But we ain't waiting on you. And there's millions of you all. And you're not going against the caste. The man is over top of you because of his masculine ability. What about his soul? Same. What about the spirit? Same. What about the deen al-fitra? The same. What about the taqwa? The same. Allah didn't take that from you, sister. But all of a sudden, you go to Hajj and stand next to me. Stand next to your husband. And you got the faith. You better not fall. You trample. Most of all y'all come back. But what if Allah say you've won? One Ummah. Ain't no big eyes and little ewes on Hajj. Only when you come back home, you got to go back down in the basement. And you got a voice. The shore board is kindergarten. All of them. I watch them. I'm talking about the ones that got the big masjids. The big masjids. And they respect me. I don't know if they like me. They act like they do. But you can't sit in front of me and dicker on beads. And they got our sisters doing that. They taking pictures with beads. Yes, it's Christianity, sisters and brothers. It all came from Christianity, and it came from being a paganism lover. Why would Allah give you a physical bead when he gave you a built-in instrument, which is your five fingers? Represent your five senses. Represent Dhikr Allahi Akbar, or what God gave, not man. but this is what they want you to go back to. And that's where they came from. So when you sit there, I say, my brother, Shay, I see you always sit in front of me with those beads. You know where those beads came from, my brother? I said, come from Christianity, but the prophet never stopped them. But we have a built-in mechanism, being a E-man, you should know that. So why are you dicking in front of me with the beads? Now, if you would have did it one time, too, but you look like you're trying to prove something to me. I think you're out your damn mind. I think that you can't get it. You can't grasp this word that God gives you in order to craft. You don't hear nothing in the car talk about beads. They don't do it no more. Because I'm a man, capital M-A-N. You say something wrong, I'm going to checkmate you. Don't say it wrong. Say it to me. I say, okay, brother, I'll see you. But when you say it in front of other people, I got to checkmate you. I said to a group of brothers, because one brother told me, and I love him. I love him. Brother came to me and he said, this man did the despicable, and I'm not burying him. I said, what are you, into paganism? I had to shock him. He said, Marat, everybody, Imam ain't the only one with school of knowledge. And I knew he was off his rocker. I said, you giving Imam Muhammad his own school of knowledge? It doesn't exist, brother Imam. He is the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He don't have no school of knowledge. And I said, let me say this to you. I said, you all think y'all doing the right thing. Let's tell you what the prophet said. When this body came past, the prophet stood up. Abu Bakr kept pulling his coattail. That is a Jew. He said, no, it isn't. That's God's creation. And he stood up until the body went past. What is he saying? The earth did not sin, he said. Is who was in that earth sin. That's who Allah judges. Not that earth was nothing but the will of God. And he served that human being all the way to his grave. Ah, earth to earth, dust to dust. But these spineless individuals go and get this kindergarten teaching and tell you the grave is going to open wide. And you're going to sit up and you're going to talk to Allah. Now, just think about it, brothers and sisters. Allah created the whole earth. Abu Masjid Allah. He created the whole earth is his. And he says, the earth listens to me. Why in the hell would he send his angel back down in that dirt? As if Allah can't recreate it. We say it all the time, Allah makes all things new. Not those who got their mind in the grave. You're going to sit up in the grave. That's sadaqah. Flush and feed it to the insects. That's your duty. And they waiting for it. So they can gurgitate it back. But you ain't in there. So since I'm on that, let me go a little further. Allah said, I want to make a khalifa in the earth. So then you telling me the earth came out as a khalifa? No, it came out as mud, dirt, and clay. That's why Ibn said, I'm not bowing to that mud, that dirt. That's what Abel said. And Allah said, whoa, hold it. I know what you know what you know not. Wait until I breathe into that earth, my spirit. So we was the only human people on this planet that came here live. That's why Satan don't like us. These people came from being dead, the angels, the jinn, and Allah created them. We, until he breathed his spirit into that mud, it came alive. So that's why it says, in the earth came alive. So, brother, you don't die. You ain't getting away. You evolve. And you go to whatever place, because no one came back and told us where this place at. But it ain't in the sky. You do that, too. Allah, you ain't got, Allah, what are you pointing up for? Of course, the paganism. He goes to you in your different vein. You had a point up. Well, brother, we say la ilaha illallah with one finger because the prophet was shook when he got revelation. Man, so I need to smack you. That's blah. Why would you take that from us? Because that's what they do. any cars speak a different language, and it sounds so good that you fall for it. So the Honorable Muhammad said, honor likes attracts. And I like you, Bill. I can say the same thing. So they know, I know this Quran. I said amongst all of them, because I left what was stuck on stupid. But who told me to leave was Imam Rafi Muhammad. He said, go to humanity. So my brother that grew up with me, that wears the dresses, I love them, so I walked amongst them. And boy, did we battle. All that was in the race. And we love each other. Abba Sunnas loved me. Fourth Avenue loved me. Elizabeth loved me. All the people they stayed away from. I sat under them, thanks to Yusuf Muhammad, you called Joseph for. I got a witness. I obey who speaks tomorrow on this radio. So that's what I do. I go wherever I believe I can help. It ain't going to come easy. Allah said first comes easy, and first comes difficult, then comes easy. And boy, we moved. Let's think about it, brothers and sisters. We was doing 20,000. Amen. What to see Muhammad. Then we went down to 100. But since they didn't want me to help them because it was fear that I'm going to take over, like what you got, I'm going to take over. The two things I don't do. I don't interfere in anybody's contract, and I don't commit adultery. And adultery that means your wife. I'm not taking over your territory. When I went and got all them accolades talking to the imam, that Khalid that gave me to speak and do the Juma, yeah, I was doing a kubah around the world. But when I finished, I hand that mic to the brother who lives there and who's been calling it down for years. What am I going to take his position for? I don't think I had the right to take his position. He was in my family. I don't have that will to do that, brothers and sisters. I will not do that. So it's amazing. It's amazing that we can't pick up on what's good, what is it. And we move from 1,000. I had the idea the brothers didn't want to go outside. And then we went outside, 1,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000. We did at Abu Sunnah. We had 8,000 people. Everybody, kids outside playing when it's over. I said, now let's go in these parks. We went in the parks and we were doing 10,000, 15,000, 12,000 for Night of Power, all the white folks. They think I own all the Muslims. They ain't even count you all. Y'all insignificant. I don't even see that bring their names up. But they love. And then I got a brother, he don't even know. The governor, he got him the Quran. He thought he had it. Oh, brother, the governor did not like it. I had to protect his name because it's called FISA. But I didn't want to shame him and tell him, brother, you are a game to him. They know you. You ain't produced nothing. And then you made a big mistake. And that's how they see you. But it goes through one ear or another. You can't play. You can't play with them. They know who is who. They know who can produce and who can't. And just showing up don't help any. Because now you're all shut down and can't go in your masjid, but you ain't coming together. Everybody watching you. And now you're running amongst them and they taking over. They are the ones who represent who we are. We speak better English than all of them. But you want them to pay for everything. What do you need? $1 million? There's enough of us. Just $1 is $400,000. So what we got to do? Give you $2.50? I mean, this is crazy. This is insane. And that's why they don't respect us, because they ask the shriners, what are you doing? Is they doing right? Nope. What do you mean? They're not following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They cut up in tribes. Oh, is that the way Imam? No, Imam's known around the world. Imam Wadud Imam? Oh, yeah, they love him. And in the Vatican, they love him with all the Muslims. They love him in Saudi Arabia. There's only seven of them that approves the Quran, and they call him doctor, those seven. Allah gave us a gift because he says, there's not a people, I didn't raise one up from amongst you all. I have a sister that called. She don't like to say it, but I tell her she's a seer. Boy, she's a very bright. And she sits around, most of them, they don't even know who she is. She only tells, for some reason, she disclosed it to me because we both got the same gift. I have my respect her highly for it. See, the sweetest thing you ever want to know. But the point what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, if you don't get back, they're not letting us in. But if you don't go and get you a husband, and those I know who have been successful, it's very difficult for you. I know it. But Allah says 2, 3, and 4, you don't question God. He put it there for a reason. Don't ever question God. Did Hadi question Abraham? He sent her in the desert. This is Allah showing you she trusts her husband and went in the desert. And yours right now have to go past her grave, and you got to run those mountains 7 times, and you call her name and don't even know because you out of breath. Hadi, 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 Hadi. And don't even know you saying Hadi. But yet, she can do that Quran, and you will never see the Quran, and you won't have not an inch of blood in you. No, I won't say blood. You won't have enough knowledge in you that will be like Haji. Well, how about Sarah? Because she was Sarah's slave because of the king. That's another story. However, she had to protect her husband because if he was the husband, the king would have killed him because Sarah must have been a beautiful woman. But what happened? He came home and he said, Sarah, you have to lie. Oh, I'm not lying. He said, yeah, we want me dead. He's going to ask you, who are you? Don't tell him you my husband. My wife say you my sister. And she did. They says a hand crawled up. That gives you a thought. That wasn't the right thing for him to do. And he said, oh, I say to your Lord, forgive me, and gave her Hadi. That was her slave. But why did it happen, brothers and sisters? Because Sarah could not give him a baby. And because Sarah could not give him a baby, she said, I got a beautiful husband here, a bright husband, a gift. He needs his own child. She takes Haji. Now, wait a minute, because they was about 78, 80 years old, that's what the story says. So here this little young girl, 14, 15 years old, take Haji, here comes Ismail, his only begotten son. I got a few minutes. The only begotten son. Do you think that's real, that he was going to kill his son? Well, Allah is showing you that he loved Allah even if his only begotten son was taken. And because Sarah was so humble to respect that young girl, she said, they came to her and the wise man said, Allah is going to give you a baby. She chuckled. They said, oh, you don't trust Allah? I said, being it is. Y'all not reading. Y'all speaking. But you ain't comprehending. So today we got a bunch of women running around here. One, I'm not taking no man with no wife. Two, I'm not giving my wife to nobody. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Because if you trust in Allah, I trust in Allah. Allah said, dress my creation. I dressed it. The book say, go do whatever you think. Think big, start small. Act like you're in an open field. Go get it. I went and got it. Tell me what I can't do. Now, if my morals is no good, I'm not going to get it. I protect my morals. I don't cheat no one. I don't con no one. I don't trick no one. I don't fornicate with Satan. That's the fornication God's talking about. The divorce of God is talking about that you're not in tune with your demon or fitra. You ain't in tune with your heart. You ain't in tune with your spirit. You have divorced yourself. And Allah frowns upon divorce. It has nothing to do with what you're doing in the bed. Don't let me start teaching, because y'all need to wake up that this is the biggest trick. Trust in Allah. Don't let your mother take that needle. Don't let your children take that needle. And if someone threatened your life, you say, oh, get out of there. With your education, you can always find someone else. But if you're by yourself, they're going to get you. You know who her husband is. You know how bad that man is. You know who he knows, and so forth and so on. Nobody messes with nobody that got, and that's the what you call the physical specimen. Now, I'm telling you, sisters, the reason God didn't put you in position to rule, rule is 24 hours, 7 days a week. Every hour, every second, I mean every minute and every second, that's the man. You can't do that on a menstrual. You cannot do that if you have a baby. So that's why he didn't put you out front, Khalifa. And that is not an individual. Allah is talking about every human being, no he nor she. We are one ummah. Started still, you're still alive. Come back to your deen al-fitr, and we'll rule this whole country. And anybody that comes from the foreign country, because Allah gave us a gift. Any man will have deen Muhammad. And you even scared to mention his name. I thank you for listening. I said anything to hurt anybody, that's not my intention. If I said anything incorrect, I'm human. But I believe you got the point. But if I say anything, allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen that will fit you in the nature in which you return. Stand up in your consciousness. Stand up in your faith. Stand up in your belief. But none of that means anything to Allah if you don't have love. That's your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorify his name. And I greet you from our father, Adam. We are the type of Adam. Long story, one day I'm going to teach you on that. And our father of all, our father of the intellectual mind and all nationality, that Abraham. He's not our biological father. He's the son of Adam, just like us. But he's the father that searched for God and had nobody to guide him. He read. And Allah named him the second father, including the prophet. When he went to visit the prophets, he called them brother, brother, Chef Adam, father, Chef Abraham, father, Jesus, brother. And I greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. And as the Farrakhan said, I am Jesus Christ. Y'all went crazy. You are too. I am too. What Jesus said, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to leave you my mother. Y'all thought it was physical. I shall return. It means every womb, Jesus' mother. That's what he meant, that one day Jesus is going to come out that womb. So then Farrakhan knows that. So that's why he said, I am Jesus. But the womb is not what's between your legs, brothers and sisters. That mind is a womb. And you help give birth to that man. And that man comes up with ideas, and you cultivate it, and you nurse it, and it comes into manifestation all the way to your grave. So don't get upset. You're here for a reason. This is a temporary world. You make it out of this world. You got to be in heaven while you're here. You make it to the next world. You got everything you deserve. And don't you ever think that he's going to destroy his trees and his land and his beautiful flowers and the sun, the moon, the stars. He's going to destroy the seven seas. No, don't let nobody tell you that. You ain't going nowhere. We're earthly people. You're not going to look like you look today. That's all earth. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're the Khalifa. Allah don't kill the Khalifa. From Allah we came, Allah we returned. Y'all don't even know what that means. You put that on the grave. No, you left your deen al-fitr. When you pass away, Allah have to now willingly or by force bring you back to the nature in which he has created you. That's all that means. And we greet you from Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. Peace and blessings be upon the Prophet and the descendants and his companion. Because when you salute him, you salute the seven we know, and we salute the ones we don't know. Allah, and how merciful he is? 33 times. You got all 99. So, yes, you've got all the prophets. There's 5 million of them, and I'm being facetious. You just greet all of them when you greet the prophet. I'm your host tonight, Miraj Muhammad. tune in tomorrow. Imam Eli Obey from 7 to 8. And it's so nice he does it twice. He comes back on Friday. I'm sorry, Thursday from 7 to 8. And then Monday, the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Oh, do we love that man. He's our engineer. He worked on his double doctor. He got 5 doctor degrees, but, hey, he comes from an academic family. And he said if he had 20, he would go back to school to get another 20, all the way to his grade. That's how he thinks. And he enjoyed being a part of this show. He told me I'm his favorite guy for 30 years. I said, you don't even know me. Much older than me. He talks to me like I'm larger than he is. He's a very humble man, very successful man. And he got a mission because he wanted to turn his land that his grandpa built back to Tuskegee Institute, not University Institute. But that's what they try to do to us. He comes on for Juma, and you will hear him do Juma. And then I come at 5 o'clock, so y'all don't think I'm doing Juma. And the name of the show is Ask Marak. Whatever's on your mind, you ask me. And I'll be honored to take to you. You say, Marat Muhammad. Ask Marat Muhammad at Yahoo. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless all of you. We ask Allah to bless those who are alive and those who pass. Separate their force for their good as I'll separate the East from West and agenda. And those who are trying to help, those who can help, and those who want to help and cannot help, we ask Allah to lift the burden and give you barakat. Shri Allah, Almighty, speak the truth. Salaam alaikum. Peace and love.